Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Reading the last three verses of the book of Matthew, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." And the book closes out, "Amen," or "So be it." Heavenly Father, please help me to preach. Lord, I need your power. I need your help. I need clarity of mind. I need the power of God to teach and to preach your word. I can't do it alone. I need your help, Lord, to reach into the hearts and the minds of those that I am trying to minister to, trying to serve in teaching the Word of God. Please help me and please illuminate our hearts, illuminate our minds. And Lord, we're careful to give Jesus Christ all the glory, all the honor, all the credit. And in that matchless name, in that wonderful name, that glorious name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord, and in Jesus' name, amen. This is the sixth part of the series, Missing the Holy Spirit. And I'll try to preach a little bit, try to go over these verses that I have, and I expect to fail miserably. I'm just not qualified. I'm just unable and incapable of doing justice to the Word of God. I really am. I confess that. The text we took last time, and the time before that, and I guess the time before that, Acts chapter 1, verse 9, 10, and 11. "When he had spoken these things, and while they beheld, he was taken up. Jesus went back to heaven," it says, "and a cloud received him out of their sight. And then they were looking up, and the angel came and said, Hey, what you looking up into heaven for? In verse 11, "This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." We've taught on that, we've preached on that. That's a sermon that every preacher worth his salt is, he's taken this text, perhaps other texts, and tried to preach the second coming. And I'm sure I taught on that, and we mentioned that last time. But I want to give you another perspective, perhaps, that maybe you haven't thought of. Jesus was here 3.5 years. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. It says he cast out devils, whatever a devil is, I suppose. He walked on the water. He confronted the Pharisees and won every argument. He shut them down instantly, really. Lazarus was dead. 4 days. It wasn't too late. Jesus said, hey, just believe in me, and what do you know? Lazarus come forth, and he did. This is God come in the flesh, Emmanuel. Nothing too hard for God, remember? And the disciples, they were with him 3.5 years. And after he rose from the dead, they were all depressed and befuddled and what have you. You can read it in Luke chapter 24, and we've gone over that. But he was here for 40 days after the resurrection. But then he left. And they're like, well, oh, he's gone again. What are we going to do? Yes, Jesus is coming back. We know that for a fact. He is coming back in the clouds. Every eye will see him. But let's go back to our opening text. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. That's the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. If you're interested in the Trinity, that's a good verse. There are other verses. Perhaps you could look at 1 John chapter 5. In the King James, it's very clear. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But he says in the last phrase, the last verse of the book of Matthew, teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And then in Acts chapter 1, he goes up to heaven. Well, I thought you said you were going to be with us always, and there you go again, and we're alone down here again. But let's go back to John chapter 14, where we were last time. There's a lot of dialogue here. I'm going to skip it and refer back to it, I suppose. But John 14, verse 1 through 4, we read this. Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus is saying. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. That's great. I mean, he went to heaven, and I guess there's a mansion on the hilltops of glory, like one of the songs, one of the hymns we sing. Okay, great. And he says, I'll go to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself. And that's fantastic. That where I am, there you should be also. Great, when we get to heaven, whenever that is. I mean, it's been 2,000 years already since he went up. When we get to heaven, could be tomorrow, could be another 2,000 years. We don't know. We get to be with Jesus forever. Great. But what about now? I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Fantastic. The blessed hope. Looking forward to it. But, and I'm going to skip, I guess, 10, 11 verses here. A lot of dialogue. Maybe we'll get back to it at some point. But again, John chapter 14, 15 and 16, after Jesus washes the disciples' feet and right before the pastoral prayer in John 17, and then immediately, Jesus is arrested. And we know the rest of the story. But chapter 14, 15, and 16, all in this, his last few hours, Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit in a deeper fashion than he has for 3.5 years. He said in verse 15 here, if ye love me, keep my commandments. A lot of songs we sing, oh, we love Jesus, and etc., etc. Okay, fine. Prove it, he said. Obey my word. Keep my commandments. do what the book says. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Okay, that's new. That's new. You're going to go back to heaven? And we read in Acts chapter 1 that he did. But he said, I'm going to pray and ask my Father, and he's going to give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Jesus is the comforter. But he's in heaven. But he said he would pray that another comforter would come to the disciples, to Christians, even Christians today, that he may abide with you forever. The word another comforter in Greek, you've heard this, I'm sure, parakletos, one called alongside to help. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit in verse 17, even the Spirit of truth. If you remember, John the Baptist said that Jesus, when he came, would baptize in the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 1, before the passage we read, I think verse 4 and 5, it says that it was a promise that the Spirit of God would come to us. It's a promise, it's a prophecy. And as we see here, the coming of the Holy Spirit is a prayer answered. I don't like to alliterate my sermons, but if you wanted to do so, a promise, a prophecy, and a prayer answered. But the Holy Spirit did come, came on the day of Pentecost, we understand that. That he may abide with you forever. A lot of people will understand that that's theology. That the Christian, when a sinner gives his life to God, surrenders his life to Jesus Christ and says, I'll make you Lord, and I believe the book, believe that you died for my sins, what have you. He's born again, and the Spirit of God comes to live within him. That's theology. But unfortunately, to most Christians, in most churches, most denominations, that's all it is just theology. They'll tell you, oh, Jesus lives in my heart. And I don't mean to be rude, I don't mean to be crass, but for most people, that's all it is. It's just a theology, something that they have been taught and they can repeat and tell you. Maybe they can defend it from the Word of God like a good Berean. But it's just a head knowledge. But they are not, in fact, born again. Oh, preacher, you shouldn't say that. Well, I'm sorry. Especially today, the state of the church, most Christians, most people in churches, they know about it. But I'm here to tell you that it's more than theology. It can be a reality in your life that the Spirit of God lives in your heart. And as we'll see, we can go even further than that. But again, we understand that Jesus went to heaven, but he sent the Holy Spirit to Christians to comfort them. Just as Jesus, remember Mary and Martha, their brother died, and Jesus came and comforted them by the miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead. But it was a comfort to them. The woman at the well, wasn't any miracle done there, but she was comforted in her soul. She had the water of life in her soul. Well, that's what we're talking about today. The water of life that is supposed to be in our souls. But it says the Spirit of truth that the world cannot receive because it doesn't see him, doesn't know anything about him. But in verse 17 it says, but ye know him, talking to the disciples, for he dwells with you. Remember in Luke chapter 9, for the 12 disciples, and again the 70 others also in chapter 10, and many other places you can see this, that Jesus prayed for the disciples, laid hands upon them, and they were empowered by the Spirit of God. And every miracle that Jesus did, they were able to go out as missionaries, as evangelists, what have you, as soul winners. They were able to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, preach with such power and conviction that multitudes would give their lives to God. Everything that Jesus did, they were able to do. But there's something that you and I have or can have that the disciples, when they walked with Jesus, didn't have. They knew the power of God. They knew about the Holy Spirit. But he wasn't living in their soul. There's theology behind that. We can talk about the temple. We can talk about the mercy seat that was the lid of the Ark of the Covenant. And once a year, the priest came and put blood on that mercy seat. And remember, out of Exodus, God said from heaven, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Again, there's a lot of theology, but the disciples, they were certainly saved, but they were not indwelt by the Spirit. They were not regenerated. The Spirit was on them and with them, but not in them. But after the resurrection, man could be born again and indwelt by the Spirit of God. But Jesus says the world doesn't know anything about this. The world looks at Christians and says, well, you know, they always go to church and they're always better than we are, you know, holier than thou. They got these bunch of rules and whatever and these hymnals and whatever, and they try to tell us that we're going to hell. But man, I don't see anything. That's just a bunch of religion, and that's what the world sees. They don't understand the reality. They don't understand the power of the Word of God. They don't know what truth is. Not really. And they certainly don't know about the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says they can't know. They can't understand. But a Christian should understand. Because it says that the born-again Christian, the Spirit of God, is supposed to be living in their soul. But in verse 18, remember we talked about that Jesus was leaving, and today he's in heaven. One day he's coming back. But in verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. Again, he's coming back. One day, we understand that. It's been 2,000 years so far, but by the Holy Spirit, Jesus will come to us. By the Holy Spirit, Jesus will comfort us, will be with us, will guide us, what have you. Just as he was, as we read the Gospels, he can be with us in our spirits, in our souls, in our hearts, if you would. I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. Yet a little while, he said in verse 19, and the world seeth me no more. And that's what we said, that he went to heaven. And we can't go to Israel or any place and find him. We can't find his where his house is and knock on the door and said, hey, Jesus, can we talk to you? He's not on earth anymore. The world seeth me no more, but ye see me. And here's something, because I live, ye shall live also. And he's not talking about the resurrection here. He's talking about that when we're born again, we become new creatures. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He's regenerated. Jesus rose from the grave. We rise born again. And we're supposed to be living above sin. We're supposed to have victory over sin, etc. We're supposed to live as new creatures. But fortunately, many of us don't. But we should. And Jesus gives us power to do so. Verse 20, in that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Again, the indwelling of the Spirit. But then there's more than that. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. It's one thing to have theology, as I said, that, oh, when a sinner repents, Jesus comes to live in his heart. The Holy Spirit's there, but he doesn't say anything, I guess. It's one thing to have that theology. It's another thing to have the reality that, hey, I really am born again. Hey, Jesus really did something for me, and I can sense the presence of God in me. But it's yet a greater thing to love God, to love the Word of God, to want to follow it, to be a disciple. He says, if you keep his commandments, that Jesus will love you. Well, we understand that, you know, he went to the cross for us. Obviously, God loves us. John 3:16 and all of that. But it says that he will manifest himself to the Christian. He will show himself as we live for God. He'll reveal himself. And this is a progressive thing. The deeper you want to go with God, the more he will show you. But then it goes on. Judas had asked him, not Judas Iscariot, but one of the other disciples asked a question. And in verse 23, and Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, or obey the scriptures, do what the Bible says. Not only will I love him, Jesus said, but the Father, my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Again, not just theology and not just being really born again, but there's a progression here. If you want to live for God, and the closer you want to walk with him, if you study the Bible to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, if you make it and you begin to pray and to seek God and want to understand the Bible, want to live for God, the more that you want to live, the more that you submit to the Lord, you'll experience the love of Jesus, the love of the Father, and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. I've preached a sermon many times out of Ezekiel chapter 47, and I really don't have time to go into it now. But Ezekiel was taken out into the river of God. He went out a quarter mile, the water was to the ankles, another quarter mile to the knees, another quarter mile to his midsection, his loins. And when they got a mile out into the river, the water was over his head. Again, there's a progression. To the degree that you want Jesus in your life, to that degree, God will reveal himself to you in his word and in your heart. And the Bible can be more than just a book, more than just a book that the preacher grabs a sermon out of on Sunday. It can be a reality in your life, a living reality. Jesus, as we read him in the Gospels, doing all the things that we read, You'll know him in your heart. Again, this is something that the world doesn't know anything about. This is something that the religious man doesn't know anything about. This is something that most Christians, they don't know much about. But in verse 26, it says, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, which the Father shall send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give to you. I just want to say, as I close this lesson out, if the things I'm talking about aren't a reality in your life, pray. Ask God, Lord, I heard what the preacher said, and what was that in John chapter 14? Let me read it. Lord, please do this in my life. I want to be a Christian. I mean, I've been going to church for 20 years, but I want what the man said. I want more of Jesus. I want to know more about the Holy Spirit in my heart. I want to see Jesus in my heart. Pray. Ask him. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out, he said. Maybe you want to rededicate your life to God, or however you want to understand it. But if you draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Make that your prayer today. Lord, reveal yourself in me. Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. And that's what we're going to talk about today.